no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama, brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week is from the Damon Runyon Theater. We'll hear The Bloodhounds of Broadway, their episode from April 17th, 1949. After that, it's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune in The Shipboard Jewel Robbery, his episode from October 20th, 1953.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, The Bloodhounds of Broadway. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. You know, at 4 a.m. along the main stem, one is apt to see many peculiar things. For example, it is about that time I am standing in front of Mindy's with Regret the Horse Player. We are talking of things, mostly nothing, when we hear something happening at the curb.
Oh, please, just a nightcap?
I said no.
It's early. It's only 4.
It is too late as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Clay. Good night.
Oh, now, wait a minute, baby.
I said good night.
I guess she says good night, Broadway.
She does it with a great deal of gusto.
I do not blame her in the least.
Regret, who is the citizen she does not wish any more part of?
Him? That is Marvin Clay. You know him.
Oh, yeah. He has plenty of scratch.
Yeah, from his father. Yeah, there is a guy like Marvin Clay who is loaded. Here is a guy like me who is the opposite.
Will you take his money if you have to be him?
That is something I do not care to offer an opinion on right now. Holy mackerel, Broadway, look at what is coming down this way.
From where I am standing, it looks like a citizen leading 2 ponies.
Broadway, those things are dogs.
Dogs? I never see dogs that big. It must be Glandula with them.
Now, what do you suppose that strange-looking character is doing with dogs this hour of the morning?
Well, we get our answer to that in a couple of seconds. Also, what happens with the dogs and Regret and Marvin Clay is more than somewhat interesting, because it includes the gendarmes, a shooting, and something that is strange indeed, which I will tell you about in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, The Bloodhounds of Broadway.
Like I am saying, Regret spots the dogs and the character who leads them with 2 long ropes. They get up to us, and Regret says as follows.
Hi there.
Me? You talking to me?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Hi.
Well, one thing about being up this early in the morning, the conversation is not long and dull.
So long.
Hey, wait a minute.
Me?
Yeah, you. What are those dogs you have got there?
Mine.
Yeah, well, what kind are they?
Bloodhounds.
They have got ears like bedsheets.
How old are they?
Coming on 3. The yaller one's Nip and the brown one's Tuck.
Ah, 3 years old, huh? What's the matter with them?
Nothing. Why?
Well, they are very wrinkled. Nip there especially. He looks like he has many things on his mind.
Yep. That's Tuck.
How are you, Tuck?
Why does he make that noise, huh?
He smells food. He ain't eating 2 days.
Well, then get him away from my legs.
Nip's hungry, too. Come to think of it, so am I.
Wait a minute. Wait, you mean these poor animals do not eat for 2 days?
That's the size and parcel of it, mister.
I do not like to see animals suffer. What do they eat?
Tain't particular. Long as it'll taste something like food.
Nip is looking at me. I do not like that.
Won't hurt you none, mister. Lessen you done something. They is man-tracking bloodhounds. Follow a man from one end of earth to other.
How do you like that? Gendarmes with fleas.
Tell you what. I do not like to see animals suffer. Now, you bring them in Mindy's and I will set them up to some food.
I'm hungry, too.
Okay. Come on.
Hey, wait a minute, Regret. You are not figuring to take them Shetland ponies in Mindy's.
Why not? Guess it won't hurt them. Come on.
Well, several sirloin steaks later, plus borscht, goulash, soup, and various other articles of food, John Wangle, it turns out this is the citizen's name, wipes his mouth on his sleeve and settles back. Nip and Tuck are full too, and are now sleeping with their ears over their eyes. Wangle tells us how he happens to be in New York with man-tracking bloodhounds from Georgia.
Well, mister, I brung Nip and Tuck north with the old-time Uncle Tom's Cabin show. Show went plumb bust. And me and the dogs did, too. First meal I had in 2 days.
Why do you not go back to Georgia?
Got no money.
Well, do you ever think of selling the dogs?
Sell Nip and Tuck? Not on your life, mister. They is the finest man-tracking hounds in the country.
Is there very much of a market for that work?
Nope.
Is there nobody you are able to write to? A relative?
Well, yep, my uncle's a sheriff. But I can't write.
Oh.
Come to think of it, wouldn't do me no good to write him anyway.
Why not?
He can't read.
I see. Well, what do you plan to do, Mr. Wangle?
I don't know. Make out best I can, I reckon.
Yeah, I hate to see animals suffer. Tell you what, Mr. Wangle, you drop by here now and then. I'll take care of the food.
That's right nice of you, mister. Maybe me and the dogs will be able to pay you back someday. That's Nip. Dreaming again. Dreaming of tracking somebody down.
Hi, Nip. Nice.
Mister, if you ever need anybody tracked down, just call on me and Nip and Tuck. We'll find whoever you want, no matter where.
Uh-huh. Meantime, where do you live?
Well, we've been staying at a public park north of here, but seeing as how Mr. Regret has taken an interest, I figure maybe moving in closer to town will be just about right.
So Regret, because he is very soft-hearted about animals, takes the bloodhounds under his wing. But it seems that now he has to take the grub out on the sidewalk because Mindy objects. Naturally, Nip and Tuck grow very fond of Regret. So does John Wangle, because all three of them are beginning to fat up very nicely. In fact, in several days, the bloodhound's ribs become practically invisible, where before they stick out like bones on a well-picked heron. Then it comes up one night, and I am with Regret in the 300 Club, where the scene is as follows.
Now I ask you, Broadway, this is the life, huh?
It is all right.
Wonderful music. Beautiful dolls.
Yeah, speaking of dolls, is that not Miss Lovey Lou sitting over there?
Huh? Yeah, it is. And soak me for a herring if she is not with Marvin Clay. Broadway, it burns me when I think of a very nice doll like Lovey Lou being with a heel like Marvin Clay.
Well, he is a very well-heeled heel. Miss Lovey Lou is not one to overlook fine points like that.
I will thank you not to talk about Lovey in that manner.
Oh, it seems like you take an interest in her.
I am interested, yes. I am interested. What is happening over there?
It seems to me that Marvin Clay wants to dance without getting up.
Why, dirty. I'm going to put a stop to it.
It is none of your business, Regret.
I'll make it mine.
Do not be a sap.
I'm going to smash his ever-loving face into pieces. Come on.
Regret, do not bother yourself.
It is no bother. It is more like a play.
You will be bounced out of here.
Please behave yourself. yourself.
Oh, now, baby.
Take your hands off Miss Lovey Lou.
Well, who the devil are you?
Take your hands off her.
That's what I keep telling him.
I will give you a split second to unhand her.
Go away, you idiot.
Mr. Clay, I am going to unhinge your head from the rest of you.
Oh, you Dan, I'll have you thrown into jail so fast
you... You asked for it, Mr. Clay.
I'll get you for this, you tout.
Get up and get out of here, facts. Go on.
You heard what the man said. Beat it.
You'll hear about this.
Yeah. Come on, Lovey Lou. It's all right, everyone. Just a little accident. That is all.
Regret? That was wonderful.
Oh, it is nothing, Lovey. Any time at all.
Regret? I think you are in trouble.
Me? Why?
Marvin Clay is not the kind of a citizen who will take this laying down.
Then I will see that he lays down. Meanwhile, I have a dance with Miss Lovey Lou. How about it, Lovey?
I think that'll be just lovey.
It will be just lovey, she says. And it is. It seems regret falls for Miss Lovey Lou. And for the next week, he sees a great deal of it. In fact, he cannot miss, because she is in the floor show at the 300 Club. And one is able to see a great deal of all the dolls there. Anyway, it seems he forgets all about John Wangle and Nip and Tuck for some days. Then it comes up one morning, and I am again standing in front of Mindy's at about 4 a.m., when I see somebody coming toward me. And who is it but a police inspector by the name of McNamara? And he says to me...
Ah, morning, Broadway.
Good morning, Mac. What brings you out before the sun?
Trouble, trouble, nothing but trouble.
What is this particular trouble?
Looking for a friend of yours.
That gives you trouble?
In this case, yeah. Broadway, where's Regret?
Regret? Why, I do not see him for almost a week. In fact, it is about a week.
Sure?
Sure.
Well, I guess you're telling the truth.
Is there any particular reason you are out this early looking for Regret?
Well, yeah, I guess you could call it a particular reason.
I see. Like I say, I do not see him.
Yeah, like you say. Guess I got to tramp all over town to get him.
Oh, he could be in any one of several hundred places. But you do not yet tell me why you look for him.
You know Marvin Clay?
I hear of him, yeah, but I am not on speaking terms.
Have a fight?
No, I just do not know him well enough.
I see. How about Regret?
Regret?
You remember Regret. We just talked about him a couple of seconds ago.
What about him and Marvin Clay?
Well, it seems that Regret and Clay had a few words about a week ago. And from what I heard, Regret gave Clay five fingers in a knot.
So?
So about an hour ago, I got a call to see a man who was shot.
Shot? With a gun?
It seems reasonable to draw that conclusion. Seeing as how there were some holes in Mr. Marvin Clay.
Clay? And Regret?
I gotta ask Regret a few questions, and I... What is a steamboat doing up this far?
Those are dogs. A bloodhound.
Holy cats, look at the size of them.
Morning, Broadway. Take it easy, Nip, now. Settle down, Tuck, settle down.
Get those horses off the side.
Yeah, you better run along, Wangle.
He ain't here again, huh?
No, he is not here, but he will be late. And now run along. Here, take this bob and buy something.
We sure miss Regret.
Regret? Regret the horse player?
Best friend man a dog ever had.
Wait a minute. You know Regret?
Just slightly, Inspector. The dogs have a sniffing acquaintance.
Shut up, Broadway. You. What's your name?
Wangle. Why?
These are bloodhounds, aren't they?
Best man trackers in the whole world.
Yeah. Well, now run along, Wangle.
I told you to shut up. Wangle, these dogs know Regret pretty well.
Why, I reckon Nip and Tuck could sniff out Regret from all the people in the whole world.
Suppose Regret had been someplace and had gone. Could these dogs track him down?
Mister, even if the trail's more than a day old, they can do it.
Okay, here's where I save some legwork. Come along.
Where to?
You want to find Regret, right?
Wangle, do not listen to this.
Shut up. How about it, Wangle?
Mister... You could just show Nip and Tuck where Regret was last, and they'll get to him in no time at all. ¶¶
is that. I figure regret is cooked. And what comes after is something that the main stem will never forget. And how it ends is quite a story, which I will tell you in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, The Bloodhounds of Broadway.
Well, there we go, off into the cold, gray morning. McNamara has it no other way than I go along. I do not know why, but there I am at 4:15 a.m., tearing along behind Nip and Tuck, who are taken to the scene of the shooting. They sniff around, then both of them put out about a yard of tongue, dig in, and the next thing I know, we are a sight to behold indeed. Nip and Tuck are leading. Behind them is John Wangle holding the lead ropes. Then comes Inspector McNamara, and then me, followed by 10 gendarmes.
Hey, Wangle, slow him down a little.
Mister, when Nip and Tuck are after somebody, they go like grease lightning.
Poor Regret. And after all he does for those flea circuses.
Yeah, saves me plenty of legwork. Wangle, sure those dogs are going in the right direction?
Mister, they ain't never made no mistake in their whole life. If Mr. Regret went this way, they know it.
If it is all the same to you, Mac, I will get off here.
You're going along, Broadway. You're going to help me find it.
Hey, they stopped, mister. This is where Mr. Regret is.
Why, there's nothing but an old garage.
Can't have it, mister. Nip and Tuck know this is where he is.
Quiet him down.
Sure, Nip, Tuck. Quiet now. Easy now. Easy.
What is Regret doing in this old garage?
What do you think? Hiding out. Boys, spread out. Kelly, Rabinowitz, get around to the back. Burton, take 3 men, cover the sides of this place. Rest of you back me up when I go in the front here.
Where do you want me, Mac? Home?
Keep off to one side. Regret's got a rod. Now, careful, boys. You're going in after a desperate man. All right? Take off. Okay. Here we go, boys. Wolf, kick open that door. If it ain't open, shoot it open. All right, Regret, you're covered. Drop the gun.
What am I?
Stand where you are. Stand still, every last man of you.
Well, well, well. A crap game. Maybe you guys ain't read the law about it.
But where is Regret?
Mister Nip and Tuck want to get going again. Mr. Regret ain't here, but he was.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go in a minute. First, I want to take down some names of certain citizens who are breaking the law by shooting craps. Line up. Line up and give your right names.
Well, McNamara makes this haul, and we take off again with Nip and Tuck leading the way. They make stop after stop. By this time, there is quite a crowd following, because it is by no means a usual thing to see a troop of gendarmes chasing after 2 bloodhounds who have got their bellies close to the pavement. Every now and then, the dogs let loose with those loud wails, and the result is a lot of citizens hurt themselves leaping from windows and fire escapes, figuring somebody's after them. Then Nip and Tuck make another stop, and the scene is as follows.
Look, Wangle, this is the 18th stop we've made. Where is Regret?
I can't help it, mister. Every place Nip and Tuck stopped, Regret was there.
He is quite busy. So far, we break up 3 crap games, 2 poker parties, various and sundry other illegal enterprises, and etc. Wangle, these dogs are nothing but stool pigeons.
I can't help it, Mr. Broadway. I go where Nip and Tuck go.
All right, Wangle. We'll try this joint.
Hey, wait a minute. This is no joint. This is where Miss Maud Milligan lives.
So?
She is Big Sam's friend. And I wish no part of being any place that Big Sam might be.
We're going in. All right, boys. Once more. This may be it. Spread out.
Your gendarmes are becoming pretty tired, man.
Oh, shut up. All right, Wolf. Give the buzzer a punch.
Yeah, who is it?
Open up, Maud. Inspector McNamara.
Hey, what's the idea? Waking me up in the middle of the night.
Open up or we'll break the door in. Take that chain off. Get ready, boys. All right, Wangle, let him loose.
Elephants!
Wangle, quiet him down. Get him quiet.
Yeah, talk down now, down. Settle down, boy.
Well, those ain't no things to scare a girl with at 5 in the morning. You get him out of here.
Where is he, Maud?
You get him out. Huh? Who?
Quit stalling. I want regret.
Are you kidding? Oh, I ain't heard nothing like that in my whole life. And he's looking at me.
Listen, Maud, I want regret.
Guess he ain't here either, mister.
What? Listen, Wangle.
I can't help it. But they want to get going. Come on.
Well, then you let them. And you, McNamara, I'm going to see my alderman, the mayor, and maybe the governor about this.
Now,
you've got no right breaking in here and making a zoo out of my apartment.
Look,
I'm going to sue you. I'll have you thrown off the force. I'll see the newspaper boys and tell them how you go around with... Will somebody tell me what they are?
Bloodhounds, Maud.
Well, I ain't Eliza, and I ain't never been an ice skater. Now get out.
All right, Maud, all right. Don't get sore. Just a mistake.
Well, don't you ever make another one like it.
McNamara gets out. So do Nip and Tuck. By this time, McNamara is no dog lover, and I know he never will be. But he gives Wangle one more chance to find regret or get thrown in the tank for obstructing justice. So off we go again, and we end up at the Club 300. And this time, it is the end of the trail, because sitting over at a table with Miss Lovey Lou is nobody but regret. Nip and Tuck take one look, and before anybody knows what happens, they are across the floor and practically in his lap. Licking his face. Mac is right after them.
There he is, boys. Get him.
Hey, what is going on?
Oh, look! The central door is broken. Oh,
Wangle, call him off. Get him away from me.
And all this comes from being kind to animals.
Oh, they're devouring
the prey. Wangle, get him away from him.
Get him away.
I want him alive for the shooting of Marvin Clay.
No.
Wangle, do something. I can't see regret in the
kitchen. Get him away.
No. Don't let them take him, Broadway.
If you are able to think of how I can stop 11 coppers, do so now or forever hold your peace.
Oh, it's all my fault. It's all my fault.
Maybe so, but it is too late to think about it now.
You don't understand, Broadway. Regret didn't shoot Marvin Clay. I did.
Oh, sure. Huh? Listen, come over away from this real fast. Come on. Now, what is this you say?
It's true. It's true. He's a heel.
Maybe so. But there is the law against shooting even heels.
What'll they do to Regret?
Does Regret know you shoot Clay?
No. What'll they do to Regret?
What do you think?
Broadway, it was an accident. I swear it was an accident. I found out he was going out with my baby sister.
I never know you have one.
I do. I went to see Marvin Clay. He laughed. He took a gun out of a drawer and said I had to get out. And I got mad. I slapped him and there was a fight. The gun went off.
Yeah, I see. But what about Regret?
Broadway, I'll tell him what really happened.
Then you better hurry up before one of two things happens. Either he is taken to the pokey, or he is swallowed by those dogs. Well, a few minutes later, they untangle Regret from Nip and Tuck. By this time, he is pretty done in. But Wangle says the dogs are just playing. Now, this is not the end of the story. In fact, there is quite a bit more, and I will tell you the payoff in just a minute. Well, like I say, Regret is untangled from the door. McNamara arrests him, but Miss Lovey Lou comes forward with her story. The upshot is the whole bunch are taken to headquarters, including me. Well, of course, I am released because I am just an innocent bystander. Well, it is 2 days after all this that I am sitting in Mindy's when in comes Regret, all dressed up, and he has 2 suitcases with him. He sits down and says...
Hello, Broadway.
Regret, I am glad to see you.
I am leaving town, Broadway.
I see you are carrying suitcases. And it seems to me you look more than somewhat nervous.
Uh-huh. I'm just killing time before I leave.
How does the whole thing turn out, Regret?
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I hear that Marvin Clay is not dead. Also, that he does not prosecute Miss Lovey Lou.
Yeah, that is correct. because he does not want unfavorable publicity.
Sure, sure. By the way, what becomes of Wangle and Nip and Tuck?
Oh, they are ingrates. But they are sent back to Georgia. It seems some of the boys take up a collection which sets them up for life. Because they are very dangerous to have around here. They get plenty of people in trouble the night they look for me.
Yeah, they do. I can see why certain citizens would rather take chances with the gendarmes than with Nip and Tuck.
Exactly. So, I am leaving town for a while.
Oh, you and Miss Lovey Lou are going on a honeymoon?
Uh-uh. I am through with Miss Lovey Lou.
What? But she saves you from trouble. You know she does not have to say anything. You are the logical suspect for the gendarmes to collar. And it would be tough for you.
I know. But I do not like to be married to any doll who handles a rascal. Even by accident. Think what would happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. But then, why are you leaving town?
Broadway, what is the last stop Nip and Tuck make before they find me?
Crap game, the poker... Oh, Maud Milligan's place.
Uh-huh. Well, Big Sam is out of town at the time. But I hear he is coming back. Now, I am going to leave town for a while because... Maybe if he hears about Nip and Tuck going to Maud's place, Big Sam might get the wrong idea. Goodbye, Broadway.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, The Bloodhounds of Broadway. Listen in again next week for... The Damon Runyon Theater. The Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the stories adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as the footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
Hi. You know, sometimes my friends ask me, Rocky, why can't you hold a job? That's a good question. And I don't know the answer. Maybe I just get restless or something. Anyway, whatever it is, me and steady employment don't get along. Now, you take the last job I had, steward on a big luxury liner from Bermuda to New York. I figured I'd like to see the ocean, you know? And a couple of guys were trying to help me, too. Only they wanted me to see it the hard way, from the bottom. Pardon me, Miss Nightingale. This is sick bay, isn't it?
Yes. Something wrong?
My heart is going pitter-pat.
I beg your pardon.
Nothing, Blue Eyes. I'm the steward from A-Deck. I came for the pills.
Pills?
The Dramamine for Lady Droopsnoot. You know, the Duchess in A7.
Oh, you mean Lady Harkness.
Yeah, anything you say.
Well, you'll have to wait a moment for Dr. Harper. He'll be back.
That's too bad.
Is something wrong, Mr.
Fortune. Rocky Fortune. No, why?
Oh, you keep staring and winking.
Oh, I've got something in my eye. I'm just trying to wink it out.
Well, you better let me take a look.
Yeah.
Oh, just sit down there in the light.
How's this?
Now, lean closer.
Like this?
A little closer.
Does this make it?
That's too close. Now, which eye is bothering you?
Right now, both. Try the left one.
Open wide. Your eyes, I mean.
Oh.
Don't be fresh.
Don't be so beautiful.
I don't see a thing.
I do.
Please, Mr. Fortune, you're not cooperating.
I don't even know your name.
My name is Helen Travers, R.N.
For real nice?
For registered nurse.
Yeah.
Now, about the eye, do you mind if I wash it out?
Honey, you can do anything you want. Would you like to take out my tonsils or saw me in half? Anything, just name it.
You're impossible. Hold still. There.
Ow!
That's for being so fresh.
Something wrong, Miss Travers?
Oh, hello, doctor. The steward would like some Dramamine. Oh.
Seasick? You don't look well.
I haven't looked well since I was 9. It's for a passenger in A7.
A7? That's Lady Harkness, isn't it?
That's right.
I'm afraid I can't give you any more.
What's wrong, Doc?
The chief steward was up less than an hour ago to get some Dramamine for Lady Harkness. Stuff isn't candy, you know.
The chief? He just sent me up.
There must be some confusion here. I think you'd better check.
All right, Doc.
Sorry.
Not at all. It was a pleasure.
I hope your eye improved.
Yeah, the wash seemed to help it a little bit. Say, maybe I could come back later on for another eyeful.
I'm afraid my boyfriend wouldn't approve.
Anybody I know?
Yes. Yes, the chief steward. Goodbye, Mr. Fortune.
I walk out on deck, still thinking about Helen Travers, RN, which stands for Registered Knockout, and leg it down to A-deck. I get my hand on the doorknob of A7 when I hear something which ain't exactly music. Lady Harkness! Lady Harkness! Open up! Open up! When nothing happens, I put my shoulder against the door and heave. When nothing happens, I try the knob, and it opens. I practically fall into the cabin, which is dark in the inside of a coal miner's boot. The reason I fall is quite simple. Lady Harkness is stretched out on the broad room like a dead lizard. I take one look and reach for the phone. Give me the ship's doctor, honey. Hurry. Hello, Doc. This is Rocky Fortune. I'm in cabin A7, and the place looks like Act 2 of Arsenic and Old Lace. You better get down here before... Oop. Whoever it is has been hiding behind the door when I come in. I never know what hits me. The top of my head exploded and the floor kept coming up to meet me. Only it took a long time to fall and I must have had some crazy dreams on the way down.
Rocky!
Huh? What?
Up here, on this cloud.
Well, Helen, how'd you get away up there?
I flew. Come on up.
How?
Fly.
Are you kidding?
Try it. You can fly. Spread your wings.
Holy mackerel, I got wings.
Flap harder.
I can't make it. Maybe I've been grounded.
Try again. That's it. Flap harder.
I'm off the ground. Hey, I'm falling. Helen, I'm falling. Helen. I'm falling. Helen.
Take it easy, Rocky.
My wing, I can't fly.
Who can? Come on, snap out of it.
Hey, where am I?
In sick bay.
What happened? My arm...
Your arm is in a cast.
How come?
You must have fallen and sprained it. Dr. Harper told me to put a temporary cast on it, just in case it's badly hurt.
Gee, it feels like lead. What hit me?
I don't know. We found you stretched out on the floor of Lady Harkness' cabin.
Well, how's the patient? I'll say, you look awful.
We've been through that already.
Oh. How do you feel? Arm hurt?
Not bad.
Yeah, let's have a look, huh? Well, it's a nice job, Miss Travers.
Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, Fortune, if you can make it, the captain would like to see you.
What's on his mind?
Well, I don't know for sure, Mr. Fortune, but I guess it's the $50,000 worth of jewelry that was stolen from Lady Harkness.
I staggered down to the old man's cabin, feeling like somebody left me in one of those fancy washing machines with the dial set on rinse dry. When I get there, the reception committee included Lady Harkness, who is about 60, wears a tweed suit, and talks like an English Tallulah. The chief steward, who looks like a clothing dummy, and the old man. 350 pounds of human meanness.
Close the door, Stuart.
Aye.
I believe you know Lady Harkness.
Aye, aye.
And the Chief Steward.
We've had the pleasure.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is this the man you saw, Lady Harkness?
Young man, would you mind bending over?
Me?
You, up to it.
Okay, but what for?
Well, you see, it was dark, and I'd been asleep. When I opened my eyes, I only saw this strange man leaning over me. I screamed, and he put a pillow or something over my face before I could get a good look at him.
Is this the man?
Well, it might be, Captain.
All right, Fulton. Straighten up.
Do you mind if I sit down, Captain? I've had a hard tap on the skull.
You will remain standing in the presence of a ship's officer.
Thanks.
No insolence?
Excuse it. Now, would you mind telling me what this is all about?
Fulton, there is $50,000 worth of jewelry missing from this cabin. I don't suppose you'd like to confess.
Confess? Sure. I've been waiting all night to confess. You see, it was like this.
Get this, Mr. Waters.
Yes, sir. I crept in through the porthole, see? And Lady Harkness here was asleep. I scragged the ice.
I beg your pardon.
Heisted the jewels. She started to wake up, so I smothered her with kisses. Then she screamed. I saw I couldn't escape, so I called the doc on the phone. Then I carefully swallowed the jewels, hit myself on the head with a piece of stale salami, broke my own arm, and passed out. And I'd be very happy to sign a statement.
That's screamingly funny, old boy. How'd you like a punch in the jaw?
Just try it, Hercules.
That's enough from both of you. Mr. Waters.
Sir?
I want Mr. Fortune's belongings searched. If you don't turn up those jewels, you have my permission to comb the entire ship from stem to stern.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fortune, you may consider yourself discharged. You are confined to cruise quarters.
Just a minute, Captain Bly.
Well?
Don't you think this amateur gumshoe work ought to be left to the law?
Mr. Fortune, in case you are not familiar with the maritime code, on this vessel, I am the law.
I execute a very unflattering salute with my good wing and stagger back to my bunk where I fall into the sack like a dead man. Only trouble is I can't sleep. My head aches, my arm aches, and my heart aches. About 1 a.m. after 3 hours of whirling like a drunken dervish, I climb out of the hammock and head for sick bay, figuring I can pick up some sleeping pills. I get to the sick bay door just in time to hear voices inside.
Don't try to give me that.
I tell you it's true,
Harry. And I tell you you're a liar.
Larry, please.
Nobody's going to double-cross me, Helen, particularly not my own girl.
Larry, you've got to believe me.
I'll give you one more chance to tell me the truth.
But I told you.
All right, baby. You want to play rough.
Larry!
No? Okay.
Larry,
good evening. Am I interrupting something?
Fortune, get out of here.
You know, Emily Post says it ain't polite to hit a young lady unless she belts you first.
Get out.
You all right, Miss Travers?
Yes. Please, Rocky, do as he says.
Sure. Anything you say. Only before I go, Chief.
Yes.
Here.
Rocky.
Yeah, I suppose they'll hang me for mutiny now. Oh, well, it was worth it. Back to my pad and spend a few more restless hours trying to figure out what goes between Larry the steward and Helen Travers. In the morning, I wake up and head back to sick bay for a checkup on the arm.
How's it feel?
Hurts.
I think I'd better x-ray in case it's a green twig fracture instead of a sprain.
Does that mean you take the cast off?
No. We can x-ray right through the cast. I'd hate to spoil Miss Travers' beautiful work.
Her beautiful work weighs about a ton. How long will I wear it, Doc?
I'll let you know after the x-rays. Just step over here, please. Now, place your arm right here. That's fine. You just hold that, huh? Now. Just hold steady. Good, that's fine. Now, you wait here. I'll go into the dark room and develop it.
Say, Doc, is Miss Travers in this morning?
No. She said she didn't feel well. Had a bad night, I expect.
I expect she did.
This'll only take a minute or two. Just make yourself comfortable.
I sit down and slop my way through a couple of issues of National Geographic while the doc steps into the dark room.
After a little while, I have a visitor.
Oh, it's you.
Come on in, Chief. Looking for a little medical aid?
I'm looking for Helen.
Oh, that's a lovely mouse you got under your eye. Did you bump into a door?
Very funny.
Have a seat. The doc's in the closet developing some x-rays.
Is she here?
Haven't seen her. Say, they find the missing jewels yet?
You know darn well they haven't found them.
Did you look in the captain's cabin? You know, I don't trust him. He's a sneaky character.
Fortune, when we get into New York tomorrow, the police are going to have a little talk with you, and frankly, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes.
Chief, I'm going to level with you. If you were in my shoes, I'd throw them away. What's that?
It came from the dark room.
Try that door there.
Locked. There's another door that leads to the office.
Come on.
Here.
Helen.
Doctor.
Holy smokes.
Is he?
Stone dead.
Dr. Arthur.
Take it easy, baby. You can't do him any good now.
What happened?
I don't know. I came in late. I wasn't feeling too good. I remember that he wanted me to change the developing solution because he was going to x-ray Rocky's arm. So I went right into the dark room. First, I thought I was alone. It was so dark. And then I saw him. I saw him on the floor with his scissors in his back. Larry, he's been murdered.
Take it easy, honey. Come on, Chief. You better notify the skipper. And also better radio the New York Harbor Police to meet us. While the chief steward goes over to phone the old man, it suddenly occurs to me that I'd better have a couple of ready answers. So I go back in the little dark room to take another look at Dr. Harper and snoop a little. Just when I think I've struck oil, the skipper barges in.
Fortune!
Yeah?
I don't want anything touched.
Just window shopping, skipper.
You are under arrest.
What's the charge, or don't you need one?
The charge is murder.
Now look, Captain.
You will be placed under guard in the forward lazaret until the police board ship.
Just what makes you think I slipped it to Dr. Harper?
You were alone with him when the chief steward arrived.
He was in the dark room.
You had plenty of time to kill him and go back to the examining room. And you'll have plenty of time to pay for it, too. The rest of your life, I predict, Mr. Fortune.
I got news for you, Skipper. As a fortune teller, you got a crack in your crystal ball. The lazarette is a small iron box down in the hold of the ship, just big enough for me, a couple of mice, and a few hundred feet of anchor chain. A couple of deckhands take turns guarding me, which consists of sleeping on a little cot just outside the bulkhead door. I get 3 square glasses of water a day and all the bread that me and the mice can eat. I am not happy.
On your feet, Mr. Fortune.
Well, well. And to what do I owe this pleasure?
To the fact that I want to talk to you.
Is that gun just a conversation piece, or do you always carry it?
The captain authorized your guard to carry sidearms. I'm your guard for the next watch.
Just the two of us?
Just the two of us.
How cozy.
Get back against the wall and keep those hands above your head.
Anything you say, Larry.
I'm interested in what you say, Mr. Fortune.
Concerning what?
Concerning what happened to those jewels.
How should I know?
I say you've got them.
You've been smoking Dramamine.
I'll give you one more chance to start talking.
And if I don't?
I empty this gun at you.
Wait a minute, Buster. That's homicide, remember?
I can always say you tried to jump me.
I don't get this. Is there a reward, or are you interested in those jewels for personal reasons?
Just start talking.
Okay, I'll talk.
And make it good.
I'll make it as good as I can. Is this good enough? I had my hands up in the air, and I brought the arm with the cast down on the top of his skull as hard as I could. He went out like a wet candle, and I cracked the plastic cast right down the middle. I was still trying to figure out my next move when I discovered we were not alone.
Put up your hand.
Sure, it's getting to be a permanent position.
Hand me that gun.
Help yourself.
Robbery, murder, assaulting a ship's officer. You know, Fortune, we can make trouble for you.
I suspected as much.
You could save yourself some heartache by confessing where you hid the jewels.
Why don't you ask the guy who heisted them?
I suppose you can identify him.
Your chief steward, sir.
Well, that's an interesting bit of information. Can you prove it?
No.
All right, Mr. Fortune. Back in the lazaret.
Will you listen to what I have to say, at least?
Save it for the homicide boys. They'll be coming aboard when we reach quarantine in the morning.
So I am back in the Bastille with my rodent companions. I spend the rest of the night trying to imagine what it's going to feel like when they sit me down in a Sing Sing Chippendale with wiring by Con Edison. Trouble? You'll excuse the cliche, but it shouldn't happen to two dogs because one dog couldn't handle it all. Along about daybreak, I'm nervously peeling pieces of plaster off my arm when I get the shock of my life. But before I can recover, somebody arrives.
All right, Fortune. On your feet.
I've been on them all night.
Let's go. The police cutter should be here in 15 minutes.
Now, look, Captain, before the gendarmes start working me over, I think I can crack this case.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. I can trap the doc's murderer in just 10 minutes. Will you listen to me?
No.
Well, can I at least get some medical attention?
What for?
This cast is falling off. And I'd hate to appear in the police lineup with a crummy cast. Might look like you twisted my arm.
I'm not an unduly cruel man, Fortune. We'll let the nurse take a look at it.
Attaboy, Captain. I knew that underneath that rough exterior that beats a heart of solid stone. Ten minutes later, I am in the sick bay, feeling like an oyster which has just escaped from 6 months in an undersized shell and is about to be eaten alive.
Rocky, I was so worried about you.
Hi, baby.
When the captain told me you'd broken the cast on Larry's head,
How is he?
He's sleeping it off in the captain's cabin. Let's get that new cast on your arm.
How about a new arm while you're at it?
Let's get the old one off.
The arm or the cast? Hey, take it easy.
This won't hurt. Here, I'll just tap it a few times with this mallet. And there.
What's the matter, honey?
Matter? Oh, nothing.
Don't kid me, baby. You look like you just shot six holes in the high 80s.
There's nothing wrong.
Suppose I tell you what's wrong.
All right.
The jewels are missing.
What jewels?
The Lady Harkness loot. The jewels you mixed into the plaster for this cast in my arm.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy like King Solomon. You and Larry boy heisted those jewels. Larry did the muscle work and conked me when I came into the cabin at the wrong moment. Then he got scared and passed the jewels to you.
But
you knew that they'd search the ship, so you put them into that plaster cast on my arm, figuring you'd get them back after the ship made port and we were all ashore. That's why you were so nice and sweet to me. I was worth plenty to you.
You've got it all figured out, haven't you?
All figured out. I even figured out why you knocked off the good doctor.
Tell me. I'd be interested to know.
You didn't plan on us taking any x-rays of my arm in the cast. And you knew the x-rays would show those jewels and they would fix your cute little wagon, but good. So you knocked him off and ruined the plates. I noticed the ruined plates in the dark room.
Finished?
I ran out of gas.
You can save your breath and just put up your hands.
You too? I'm going to need a special game warden if this keeps up.
Get over there against the wall.
My favorite position.
All right. Where are they?
Where are which?
The jewels you took out of the plaster cast.
That's an interesting question.
I'll give you just 5 seconds to provide an interesting answer.
I don't hear you, baby.
One, I can always say you tried to escape.
Such a pretty girl, too.
Two, I'm ready to pull this trigger, Rocky.
Young and tender.
Three, I mean it.
Too young to have to die.
Four.
In the electric chair.
All right. Five.
Hold it.
Grab her.
Yes. All right. Go. Quiet down, miss. You okay, Fortune?
Okay, Skipper. Except for a slight heart attack. You heard what she said?
I was listening through the porthole.
So, what kept you?
Well, I just wanted to give her enough rope to hang herself.
You nearly gave her enough to include me.
Oh, sorry. You know, I must apologize, Fortune.
Mm.
Until you showed me how the jewels had been hidden in your cast, I really didn't believe a word you said.
Yeah, forget it. I got a dishonest face.
Well, naturally, if there's anything I can do to make up for it now...
Just one thing, Skipper. About my job. You remember how you threatened to fire me?
Yes.
Well, fire one ready, Gridley, because if you don't, I quit.
Tonight, NBC Radio has presented transcribed Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young man known as Rocky Fortune. Others in the cast included Tony Barrett, Lynn Allen, Marvin Miller, Norma Varden, and Shep Menken. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts and Andrew C. Love directed. Eddie King speaking. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Sometimes I don't know what this younger generation is coming to. Did I ever tell you about the 10-year-old cowboy who held up the stagecoach with a water pistol and got away with 50 grand? Of course, I thought the kid was only kidding. But as the man in the hot seat said, brother, was I in for a shock. I'll tell you about it next week. See you around.
Next week, then, tune in again when Frank Sinatra returns as Rocky Fortune. One of the finest things anyone can say about you is that you're a good neighbor. That spirit has been a tradition in American life all through the years. Today, in hundreds of cities, this spirit of goodwill is expressed in a different way. It's expressed in our support of the local community chest or United Fund. This support is the modern way of being a good neighbor. Through your community campaign, you can make just one yearly contribution that takes care of many needs. You know that your money is collected and administered honestly and efficiently. So make sure that your campaign pledge is large enough to cover these needed services for an entire year. This is your chance to be a good neighbor. So give to your community chest or your local United Fund. Enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. If you want to find more from Damon Runyon Theater, Rocky Fortune, past episodes of the Relic Radio Show, and all of the Relic Radio podcasts, just visit the website, relicradio.com. You'll find our Shoutcast stream up and running there as well. And if you'd like to help support it all, click on that donate button or visit donate.relicradio.com if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.